You know, there's a TV program, and I don't watch it, called The Big Bang Theory. Brother David spoke about some professors of college that think they're so smart. But I'll tell you what, the Bible teaches you and I that if any man liketh wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberty and upbraideth not. He's still the same God today as he was in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hadn't changed at all. Still got all power. And the hope that we have that one day heaven and immortal glory will be our home is by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm like Brother David. If you don't believe Genesis 1 and 1, you might as well just throw the book away and go ahead and make your own theory of what it might be. I want to read a few verses of the third chapter of the Peter's apostle epistle, and then I want to go to the apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesian brethren. But in the first epistle of Peter, beginning with the 18th verse, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. I want you to think about that for a minute now. It was by the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ yonder on the cross. He actually restored man back into the favor of God by the sacrifice that he made, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people in the world today that place a lot of emphasis on Noah's ark, but they fail to realize what it saved them from. It saved them from drowning. That's what the ark did. And to me, the ark is a type and shadow of the New Testament church today. It came back to rest on the very earth that it left from. But you back over in the old Bible and you read about this. God appeared unto Noah and told him to build an ark. And 120 years, Noah worked on this ark. And God caused the animals to come into the ark, gave Noah the blueprints of exactly how to build it. Only had one door and one window. And when it came the appointed time for the rain to come down from heaven's world, God closed the door. God closed the door. And then when the waters receded, God opened the door, gave Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives a commandment to replenish the earth. Because of the wickedness of mankind, the Bible said that God repented that he ever made man. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not for the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you this morning, my hope, I trust, is centered in the very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. You read about the Apostle Paul and all these churches that he wrote to. He first said unto them, remember that according to the gospel that I have preached unto thee, Christ was resurrected from the dead. And I'm thankful, Brother Shane, he just didn't stop right there. He said, if Christ be not risen, our faith in vain, our preaching in vain, and we're yet our old sins. But thanks be unto God who give us the victory, what? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he even went as far to say, if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than which ye have received, let it be accursed. I thought that Brother David was preaching. You know, there's people, and they're working on it right now. The preamble to the Constitution under God, and that one nation under God, they're trying to take that out of that. I'm going to tell you, if the world had its way today, they'd burn all the churches, all the Bibles, lock all the preachers in prison, and I've got some news for it. Heaven and immortal glory would be populated with everyone that he shed his blood for. Who is gone into heaven and on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. I thought about that when Brother David was talking about the power. Power. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the writings of the gospel according to John in the 17th chapter in the 2nd verse, Jesus, actually in that 17th chapter of the gospel according to John, it's actually divided, all of it prayer, but it's divided into three different sections. The Lord Jesus Christ praying to God the Father for himself. Then the Lord Jesus Christ praying to God the Father for these men that he called and named apostles. And in the third part, I trust that we are embraced in that third part. As I have given him power over all flesh. I'm going to tell you, if this 22nd verse is the only verse we had in the Bible that would let us know where the Lord Jesus Christ is today, that's all we need right there. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. Now, I want to leave that, and I want to go to the 6th chapter of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesian brethren. And we're going to start reading in the 5th verse of the 6th chapter. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and in sins of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I'm going to tell you, I believe Paul said be ready at all times to give an account of the hope that's within. Well, what is hope? God's word to you. Hope is an anchor of the soul. Both sure and steadfast, anchored within the veil. Contrary to an anchor that goes down to anchor a ship to keep it on its course. Knowing knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, that same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of person with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. There is an armor for the Lord's children to wear while they live in this world. But I'm going to tell you what. He didn't say somebody else is going to put it on for us. You put it on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice, this armor is designed for you to put on, and it protects all of the front. No need to turn back. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all things. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the churches that he wrote to, in one particularly, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep. We'll be changed in that day when the Lord descends from heaven and calls these sleeping bodies from the dust of the earth." There's people in the world today that actually believe that when our loved one dies and we place them beneath the ground, that's the end of it. And I'll tell you what, I'm thankful that I believe it's more. That's just the beginning of something that we can't even explain this morning, Brother Stephen. No. I tell them this, this song book that we sang out of. I couldn't tell you this morning to save my life how many songs in that book use the word heaven. Heaven. And I can't fathom that holy city. But I'm thankful of this one thing, and I know this full well. If I'm ever permitted to look upon my Lord and my Savior's face, it'll be what he's done for me. That I'll be able to do that. Now, if I won't enjoy the blessing. See, I'm going to tell you what I thought about this morning. The Apostle Paul was writing to some folks. He told him, he said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God's word you're both willing to do of his own good pleasure." There is a salvation. I'm going to call it a time of salvation, taught in God's word, that we're to work out. Then there's one that's already been worked out by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for that today. Now then. "For which I am an ambassador in bond, that wherein I may speak boldly and ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tertius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord,
shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affair, that ye might comfort your heart. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Now, we ask ourselves this question this morning. Why do we love Him? If we love Him, why do we love Him? We're taught in God's Word we love Him because He first loved us. And called us by His grace. With a holy calling, from a death in sin to a life in Christ, implanting in our hearts the desire, and sometimes we fall short, in serving Him the way we ought to. But I'm thankful He knows the heart of all mankind. And He searches low even the deep things of the heart. And I thank God this morning. Lord, may the Lord bless you, is our prayer this morning.
Brother David, come here.